What I wanted to share with them and what I hope to share with you all this morning, it really is something that God laid on my heart as we're working through this book. If you're here visiting this Sunday, or if you haven't been here while we work through our study we do during the season of Lent, there's a book by Bob Thune that was called Gospel Community. And in the midst of this book, there's this general theme that God has called a people out of this world to be his very own, and that he's showered them with blessings upon blessings, and that the best way to enjoy these blessings is in community. When we gather together, we remind each other of the things that God has done, and we recite back to each other the promises of God, and we encourage each other on to faith and good deeds. And living without this community, without the church, it robs us of a great part of the blessings that we have in Christ. We still can be saved apart from being in a church. We can still have our own individualized faith, but we're called to more than that. We're called to have individualized faith, personal relationship with God through Christ, but also to have a family that loves us and cares for us. And we pray that Safe Harbor will be that kind of family. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and open up the Word of God together. And I'll be looking at several passages. The main one that I wanted to fix my attention on this morning comes from the book of Galatians. So if you have your Bible, flip to Galatians. It's one of Paul's letters. It's about three quarters of the way through the New Testament. And it's after Ephesians and Philippians, and then comes Galatians. I'm sorry, yeah, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians. No, Galatians comes first. I'm sorry, my brain, see, I've already lost it. It's 2 Corinthians, then Galatians, and Ephesians, Philippians. So right after the 1 and 2 Corinthians, we have Galatians, and then jump right in. Chapter 3, I'll be beginning in verse 7, where the Apostle Paul says this: "Know, then, that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then, those who are of faith are blessed." Along, it's a little hot, back that off a little bit. Those who are of faith are blessed. Along with Abraham, the man of faith, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by keeping the law. For the righteous shall live by faith, but the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it's written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to us, so that we might receive the promise, Holy Spirit, through faith." Let's pray together. Father, as we look this morning, this Easter Sunday morning, at this passage where the Apostle Paul explains how you have always intended to have for yourself a people that would be blessed, help us to see how we are the blessed people, and help us to see how we are to live with this blessing and share this blessing. Oh, Father, I ask that you would give us eyes to see, you would give us the ability to hear, that you would enable us today to have our hearts softened, to under the power of the Holy Spirit, and because of what we look at in your word, that we would be changed. We'd be made more and more like Christ. For we ask these things in his precious name. Amen. As I was working my way through this sermon this week, I was thinking of what's the most profound and deep and powerful way to express the concept of the blessing. This ancient gift given to Abraham and his descendants and passed on to us. And I think the blessing. And all I could think of was the curmudgeon Uncle Lewis sitting at the Griswold family table at Christmas, trying to explain to his wife, who's clearly beginning to lose her mind, Aunt Bethany, that she's been asked to say grace. Grace died last year, she says. Don't you understand the blessing? Of course, she doesn't get it because she says the pledge to the allegiance. And then later on, we see that she had given as a gift, her cat wrapped in a box and had put cat food in the green jello salad, the whole nine yards. She didn't get it. She couldn't understand. And for many of us, we don't get what it means to get the blessing. This is a big deal. A big deal that the Apostle Paul says we are now to be blessed like Abraham was blessed. Let me read to you again just a few of these verses, 7 to 9, where he says this. Know then, he wants them to get this, know then that as those who are of faith, who are the sons of Abraham, and that the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. Now, to get a concept of what's going on here, for thousands of years, what was understood by the average person who knew of Abraham, the people who are descendants of Abraham, the Jewish nation, was that they were God's chosen people. They were blessed because their father Abraham was blessed. But the rest of the world, the Gentile world, anyone who wasn't Jewish, they were cursed. And now what the Apostle Paul is saying is anyone who has faith, saving faith, like Abraham had, you are blessed. In fact, you are the true children of Abraham. It isn't by physical lineage. It isn't because of bloodlines. It's because of faith. Because we're told before Abraham was ever, his name was changed or circumcised, that he believed, Genesis 15, verse 6, and that faith was credited to him as righteousness. He had saving faith before the covenants were ever put in place. And now what Paul argues is that anyone who has the same faith as Abraham, you too will be blessed. If you look at passages like Romans chapter 9, for not all who are descendant from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named, says the Lord. This means that it's not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise who are counted as Abraham's offspring. Galatians 3, we just read together. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. What does it mean to receive the blessing? This was a very ancient and specific gift that was given to Abraham. What did it mean to Abraham? And what should it mean to us? What it meant for Abraham was that God was with him, always, would never leave him, and that God was on his side, and he was favored of God, and everything was going to work out. Everything was going to work out. So much so that he left his own homeland, not knowing where he was going, the book of Hebrews tells us, and went to receive the promised land, which he never received in his lifetime. That Abraham, even though he was old, was told that he would have a child who would be the child of the promise. And when he finally receives him, he takes him to the top of Mount Moriah because God tells him to lay him on the altar and sacrifice him, and he does it. Why? Because he believes that God will do what he promised and that everything is going to be okay. Do you believe that? Do you believe that everything is going to work out? That it's all going to be good for you? Now, I'm not talking about blessed. I want to be blessed, blessed, blessed. And you're thinking about personal peace, prosperity, have all the toys that my neighbor has. Then I'll be blessed. If my boat is bigger than everybody else's, or at least catches more fish on opening Rockfish Day, then I'm blessed. Or the unsanctified prayer of Janis Joplin, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. The first time I shared that illustration was the second Sunday that we existed as a church. And it was the first Sunday that Jimmy Overmeyer came to church. His wife had come the week before, said, you got to come check out this new church. He came, and after the service, he came up, he said, you know, I just bought a Porsche, and and my wife drives a Mercedes-Benz. And I thought to myself, I'll never see those guys again. And they've been coming for the last 20 years. So that just shows how much faith they have. They're gracious and wonderful and an integral part of this particular church. But the point is this, And he got the point, as we talked about it later on. Those things are not bad in and of themselves, Porsches and Mercedes-Benz or even boats. But if we look at them as the blessing, we've missed it. But if we see through those things the hands of God's providence, if we see through those things the love that God has for us, and because he loves us, he has blessed us with things that we do not deserve and that we are to use for his glory. And every time we see them and every time we use them, we are to give thanks to our God. You know, some people live the life of Riley. Some people, everything always seems to work out for them. They're the golden boy or the golden girl. Everything always turns up. You know people like that, right? Maybe you're one of those people. But in reality, nothing always turns out perfect. And everyone has struggles. And you may only see some things on the surface. But there's this incredible promise that those who receive the blessing given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, if you receive the blessing from the Father, then you are always, always going to receive that which is good. In fact, you are going to receive that which is best. Maybe you don't understand how it's best. Maybe you had a different way of measuring things and you would have never put it even close to being best, like getting cancer. But I can't tell you how many people who have gone through a horrible trial and at the end of it said they wouldn't trade that cancer or that trial or that difficulty in for anything. Because here's what the blessing looks like, Romans 8, verse 28, that God is working out all things for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. He's working out all things for good for these people. Let me put it in another way. Can you think, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions this morning, can you think of some things, more than one thing at least, some things that if those things would be taken away from you, or if those bad things were to happen to you, you would lose your happiness? There's no way that you could continue to live as you live now. If you lost those things or those bad things happened to you, it would mean the end of the way you live. Life would be over for you. Loss of a child, loss of a spouse, loss of your reputation or your job or whatever. Where's the list? Write it down. Or a terrible thing happened to you. Write it down. What this blessing means, if you receive this blessing, that there's nothing on that list. Nothing on the list. That no matter what happens to you, if it happens, it's come to the hands of a God who loves you and is taking care of you and is working what's best for you. And yes, it will be painful. And yes, it will be difficult and even terrible for the moment. But his mercies are new every morning. And though there may be weeping at night, in the morning with the sunrise, there is hope. And there is peace. And there is the fullness of the blessing. God's with me. He hasn't left me. And he's actually using this for my good. That's the first part of understanding this whole thing. What does it mean that we are children of Abraham? What does it mean that as Abraham was blessed, we are blessed? It means that God is with us and he's always on our side. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is always on your side? If you are in Christ Jesus, if you have saving faith, if you have prayed a simple prayer, God, take away my sins and nail them to the cross and take Christ's perfect completed work and credit to my account. Not because of anything that I've done, because I need you. I have faith in you. I trust you. God, help me, save me. If you prayed anything like that, and then the fruit of that is the indwelling of God's Spirit, which comes into your life, and you see the things of the world differently. If that's happened to you, then here's the promise. All things are working out for your good. And nothing that comes through the hands of God is anything but mercy, grace, and love. Period. That's the blessing. And you need to receive this blessing, understand it and receive it and live by it, to grasp this grace, to be guided by this grace. Because once that happens, then guess what happens in your life? Blessings increase. Not that you get more stuff, but now you look around and you see the people around you as gifts from God. You look at your wife, or you look at your husband, you look at your kids, and you say, what a blessing. This is because God loves me. That I had this. Is it difficult? Sure. Can kids be difficult? You know it. Especially when they hit the teenage years. Really, really difficult. But they're a blessing. They're a blessing. And even if they go astray, even if you have a prodigal child who tears your heart out, every moment that you have had up to that point, and any moment that God will give you in the future with that person, with that child, it's a blessing. It's part of His blessing. It's not the life of Riley. You don't have to look around and say, when is the shoe going to drop? I've gotten enough good stuff from God. Now the bad stuff's got to come. It doesn't work like that. You're blessed. Look at your family. Look at the home that you're in, the car that you drive, everything you possessed. It's because God loves you. He's given these things to you. Enjoy them for Him, for His glory, and for your personal joy. Because the fruit of being blessed is a joyful heart. The second thing I want to talk about is that this blessing, as beautiful as it is, as glorious as it is, it's not something to be held on to and enjoyed as an individual, as a solo ride through life, but that we're called as a community to see each other's blessings and to praise God for them, to recount our blessings to each other, and also to recount to each other the difficulties and the trials that God has brought us through. One of the things that's hard for people to do is share their wounds. If you've been wounded, if you've had something terrible happen to you, something shameful happen to you, something that you regret happen to you, we try to pack all those things up and shove them away into a closet somewhere or sweep them under a rug. We don't want anyone to know about these bad things. We only want to show people the good things about who we are. But a gospel community is a group that can be honest about who we are, honest about the wounds that we have received. And it's powerful and it's important. One of the things that I found interesting as I was reading through the gospel narratives this week in the preparation for Good Friday and Easter, it's a glorious thing to read through Scripture and to recount these things, was this really amazing passage between Thomas and Jesus. You know the story of doubting Thomas. Let me read it to you from John 20. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus had appeared to them before. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the hands of Jesus and mark and the marks of the nails on his hands and place my finger into those marks and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, the disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them this time. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said, "Peace be with you all." And then he immediately turned to Thomas and said, "Put your finger here in my hand, and put out your hand, your other hand, and place it in my side. Do you not believe? Do you now see?" Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and you have yet believed." We all know the story of doubting Thomas, and we think, well, the moral of that story, or we get the point, is that we're supposed to believe without seeing. Blessed are those who believe without seeing, and we shouldn't doubt, and or be called a doubting Thomas. But what's remarkable is how quickly Jesus immediately turns to Thomas and shows him his wounds. First off, it's kind of interesting that he still has wounds. You would think with the resurrection power that would raise a dead man back to life, or Jesus triumphant over sin and death, that it could fix the holes he's got. You know, fix up the side, fix up his hands. Why does he still bear them? It's important. Jesus still bears those wounds because they testify to the depth of his love. Because love is joyful sacrifice. Scriptures tell us it was for the joy set before him that Christ endured the cross and scorned its shame. He loves us. And every time in glory when we see our Lord, we will see a wounded Savior. We will see the wound in his side and the wounds in his hands and his feet and even the scars on his head where the thorns were pushed down. 5 bleeding wounds, the hymn goes, testify that I belong to him. When we see our Savior, we'll see his wounds. And it's powerful because it shows us, it's a testimony to what Jesus did for us. And our wounds are a testimony of what Jesus has done for us. So we need to share our woundedness with each other. What does it look like? It's simple. You tell your story, the honest story. We've had the most glorious time this last year, our men's group on Thursday mornings, and as we gather on Saturdays, hearing testimonies. We've had men come and share 30-year addictions to alcohol and how God has brought them through it and is using them in a powerful way. People who are still struggling with issues. We had a wonderful testimony just last Saturday of a man struggling with alcohol and with all sorts of other things, and God throughout the years had been walking with him and has kept him faithful, and his faithfulness increases. And as we hear of his wounds and we see what God has done, it is a testimony to Jesus. And guess what? Those testimonies are one of the most powerful tools in defeating our enemy. It says so right in the book of Revelation. Revelation 12 says this: "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and authority of his Christ has now come, and the accuser of the brethren, Satan himself, has been thrown down, who accused them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him. The brethren have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Let me read that to you again. "The brethren have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Do you see what happens when we share the stories of our wounds? The testimony of what Jesus has done for us, our brokenness, and then out of that brokenness comes healing. Satan is defeated. He's thrown down. He cannot stand against a testimony. When somebody says, "I've been blessed, and this is how I was broken, and this is how I'm still struggling, but I am blessed," it drives Satan away. It throws him to the ground. He has no defense against that. He's the accuser. He's still trying to accuse the brethren, accusing them day and night. He's the deceiver of old. He has come to kill, steal, and destroy. John chapter 10. But guess what Jesus said? "The thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly." That's the blessing. That's what you're called to. And to share the story of how abundant your life is and how glorious your God is, and that testimony changes everything. Sometimes we need to tell it just to remind ourselves, because we forget how good our God has been to us. And we forget as we look at our wives, or we look at our children, or we look at our jobs, and we look and we say, "What a curse. What a lie. From the pit, that's a lie." If God has provided it for you, it is a blessing, part of the big blessing. I look at my wife and I see just how blessed I am, more so now than I ever have. And I pray that that will increase and grow and grow and grow. We're blessed. And we need to hold on to that blessing and return back to God praise. Because one thing that Satan hates as much as a testimony is to hear the praise that goes to God as part of that testimony. And yeah, we are a scarred people. We are a struggling people. But we are victorious. And we are wrapped in the righteousness of Christ, and we are beloved of the Father. And God loved us so much, he wouldn't even spare his only son. But he offered him up in our place, and now along with his only son, promises to freely give us all things. Because we're blessed. That is the blessing. And so we share our story. And we share God's story of what he's done in our lives and how he's worked through our brokenness and through our pain and through our past and how he's continued to work on us. And we confess our sins openly one to another because we're honest and transparent, because it all testifies to the glory of God and his goodness to us. And when we do that as a group, we're blessed together because we have a family that holds on to each other and loves each other, encourages each other, and says we can make it through this. And so as we share our story and God's story, and we share our lives together, the family is strengthened and it's built up. And this is our calling. We have, as a group, a calling given to us, a job description, that we have a specific thing that we're supposed to be doing. The church is supposed to be on mission. The church is, by definition, missional. Every single person who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is a missionary. Did you know that? We think of them, oh, they're special people. They go away to other countries. No, you are a missionary. You're on mission. And we get all guilt-ridden. Oh, no, I haven't shared my faith lately. Oh, no, I haven't gone to a foreign country. I'm lousy because all this mission statement stuff is just make me feel bad. Well, let me read it to you. This is Matthew 28. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. You know what we focus on? Go make disciples. You haven't made disciples, and we feel bad about ourselves. No, this is not a command. This is not a duty. This is a promise. Acts 1, Jesus presented himself to disciples after his crucifixion and resurrection by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now, he said to them, it will come. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his authority concerning my return, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So what's he saying? Jesus is saying in the passage from Matthew 28, where he says, go and make disciples, in the Greek, it's as you were going, as you were living, as you were enjoying the blessing, just tell other people what God has done. Share your story. Share your wounds. Share what God has done. Share your lives together, and you will make disciples. Because the power of the Holy Spirit will be upon you. The promise is God sending the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit will give you power and will give you the ability to connect where people hurt with the story of your hurt. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted by in God. And a lot of comfort there. What does it mean? As you share your story of your wounds, in God's work, you will touch somebody who's been wounded. If you had on your list when I said if you lose one thing, your life would be over. If you had lose a child, that would make a lot of sense. I think unless God were in the midst of that, I would lose my mind. But we have people here in our midst who have lost children. And guess what happens when somebody else comes into our midst who just lost a child? The person who lost a child and God was there for them meets up with the other person who lost a child. And they share a deep grief and a powerful healing and a comfort that they receive from God. And it spreads. And they are blessed. It's part of the blessing. That's what it means to be on mission. It means as we receive this grace from God and receive this blessing, we then go with this to other people and share that blessing. It propels us out towards other people, from Judea to Samaria to the uttermost ends of the earth, from our homes, from our close-knit groups, to areas further and further and further out. Wherever we're going, as you are going, go and make disciples. And what's the promise at the end of it? And lo, I am with you always. Remember when I said what did it mean to Abraham that he was being blessed? God was with him. If you have faith, like Abraham had faith, and believe God can save you, and God can change you, and that God wants to bless you, and that God loves you, and you really receive that by faith, it will change you from the inside out. You will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, who takes up residence in your heart, and by him we cry out, Father, Daddy, help me. And the promise is, he is always with you. Jesus is always with you. The Father is always with you. The Spirit is in you to the very ends of the age. That's the promise. That's part of the blessing. God is with you, and He's for you, and He's working out all things for your good. So what does life in the Spirit look like? This is from John's Gospel. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, He'll give you the Helper, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him or knows Him or believes in Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to you the remembrance of all that I have said to you. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with Me from the very beginning. I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper won't come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of sin because of righteousness and judgment." So what's all that mean? It means God loves us. And He blesses us. And because Christ burst forth from the grave and conquered sin and death, and now in His resurrected power sends the same power that raised Him from the dead in the person and work of the Holy Spirit into our lives, He's given us everything that we need to have a truly joy-filled life and to be blessed. And our blessing is promised to increase as we share that blessing and we watch other people walk from darkness into light. And by our wounds, as we were healed by Christ's wounds, as our wounds were healed, and we share that story, we see other people's wounds healed. And it adds to our joy. As we see more and more people who were lost and under the power of the enemy gather around the Lamb's throne and worship Him because they have been saved, our joy increases. So here is what God has called you to: a life filled with abundance. A life that is blessed, and you've been sentenced to a lifetime of joy. Happy Easter, right? That's what it's all about. And if we get this and we live this blessing, we will be a blessing to other people. If we live out of the reality, it's unseen because we have to have faith to grasp it. But when you grasp it by faith and you see just how blessed you really are, how blessed I really am, how blessed we are as a group, your joy increases. And that's all there is for you, is joy. Yeah, there's sorrow in the midst of it. There's trial, there's difficulty. But we know that even in the difficulty, God will be there with us. He'll never leave us as orphans. He'll come to us. And in the midst of that difficulty, He's going to send other believers who gather around us. And then on the other side of that difficulty, the wounds that we have will be healed. We'll still have scars, but we show those scars to other people, and then their wounds are healed. It's a great deal. If you've never come to a place in your life where you've grasped this grace and fallen under this glorious blessing, today's the day. Easter's a great day. It's a simple prayer. God, save me. Forgive me for my sins. And take them and nail them to the cross. And take all the goodness of Christ and bring it to me. And fill me with your Spirit that I would be changed, that I would be different, that I would be somebody who has faith to see and receive this blessing. Anything like that in a prayer. And if the Spirit comes and opens up your eyes and fills your heart, nothing will ever be the same. You will have blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And none of this would have been possible if Jesus stayed in that tomb. If He was not who He said He was. If He was not the Son of God, the righteous Savior of the world, the Lamb who was slain before the foundations of the world, then we would all be lost. And Paul says, pitied more than all people. But we're not pitied more than all people. We're blessed more than all people. Enjoy the blessing. Live the blessing. Go share the blessing. And may Christ be glorified. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for how You have blessed us. We thank You for all that is ours in Christ. that all the promises of Scripture throughout the Old Testament, New Testament are now yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Father, it's hard for our minds to grasp this. And we so easily fall into doubt. We so easily act like Thomas. And we so easily cower in fear when you are right there with us. Help us, Father, to have eyes of faith. Help us to believe. Help us to give testimony of the good things that you've done in our lives and to share ourselves with each other and share the blessing that we have received. Father, as we do this, fill our lives with joy, that it would add to the power of our testimony. The joy of our Lord will be our strength. Oh, Father, give these things to us that your kingdom would grow and you would be glorified and Christ's name and fame would spread. For we ask it all in his glorious name. Amen.